You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for coming out and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
My name's Jarrett. I'm here to help you through this convoluted mess we're about to send you on today.
Yes, it is quite a mess. We are going to be talking about one of the baddest baddies to be in the Superman realm as far as Marvel heroes are concerned. We're talking about the one, the only, Hyperion.
Now, I'm excited about this. I actually really like this character. I like him so much that I've collected like 4 or 5 of his thousands of first appearances, and the reason I say thousands of first appearances is because there have been so many versions of Hyperion, it's insane. Like, for a character that's maybe a C-level character, like, to be rewritten by so many different writers, and not as, like, their take, but, like, a completely new version, it's insane. Yeah.
Totally understand. Yeah, it's, I was looking through it myself, and just... I don't know if you recall, but when I was like, hey, I want to get the first appearance of Hyperion, which one do I get?
And I was like, Donald, sit down. We have to have that father-son talk about Hyperion.
Yes, and, after that, I was quite, I was a Marvel superhero woke, because that was something else to behold. So let's start digging in, I guess.
Yeah, so the character was created by Roy Thomas, writer Roy Thomas, and one of my favorite artists, Sal Buscema, of the Flying Buscema family.
Right, good old Sal. Hey, guys, I've got to draw a comic book.
Sal!
Yeah, I assume that's what he sounds like. I don't know.
I would think so. I'm Sal Buscema! or he sounds exactly like Steve Buscemi. So that he was created... Too. Well, let me restart that, actually. This first version... was created in 1969 in Avengers number 69. How ironic is that? And like I said, created by Roy Thomas and artist Sal Buscema. Now, this first version's name was Zib-Ron. And Zib-Ron was part of a group called the Squadron Sinister. So that's important to know because this was a group that was pretty much created like as a version of, like an evil version of the Justice League of America over there in DC Comics. And they were from an alternate universe. They were alternate, they were bad guys. There was like Nighthawk, who was like a Batman. There was like a Wonder Woman character, Power Princess, I believe. Whizzer, who was like a Flash. And then Hyperion, who was obviously a pastiche of DC's Superman. And now the first Hyperion, Zib-Ron, like I said, he was a member of the Squadron Sinister. They battled the Avengers, and I think they were defeated, blah, blah, blah. But now, 2 years later, in another alternate reality, there was a group called the Squadron Supreme. And now, that was, as we were talking about before, Avengers 85, right. 1971.
And they came with, like, sour cream and cheese and stuff like that, salsa, lettuce, tomato.
Yeah, and the Squadron Sinister didn't come with anything.
Yeah.
If you got the regular squadron, yeah, that just came with your basic lettuce, tomato, meat, and cheese. But yeah, if you got the Squadron Supreme, you got guacamole, sour cream. Yeah. That's on the superhero menu. But this second version, created in 71, was the first appearance in Avengers 85, which, Donald, yeah, you recently just picked up. Yes. That's kind of the one I would personally go for because this is the first heroic version. And this version of Hyperion actually is a mainstay in the Marvel Universe for some years. I'll go into his that version's history, but he basically kind of is the Hyperion, the main representation of the character. And then, just to make things even more convoluted, in 2003, Marvel Comics launched another title called Supreme Power, which was a new take on the Squadron Supreme Universe, where Hyperion is raised by the United States government to be a superpowered operative. And now this was another, so we're talking a third alternate universe. None of this was in 616 yet. These characters would come into 616 or whatever, at least the first two, but they were not from 616, which is the mainstay Marvel universe, until what was it? What year was that? 2012, when Jonathan Hickman, Mr. Speaking of convoluted writers, I know that's a sore subject for some people. I think he is definitely talented, but man, does he oversaturate things. And
he can't get out of his own way, I feel.
Yes, that's a great way of saying it.
Yeah.
He reminds me of myself, actually, as a kid, when I'd be like creating my own worlds with my superheroes, and I'd like write diagrams, and like, this guy's on this team. Like, he'll put like, in every book he writes now, he's got like a diagram of like, this is what's going on with mutantdom, and these are the alpha mutants, and this guy was born in 55, but blah, blah, blah. No. So he created one in 2012. That, and we'll get to all the, you know, the various endings and beginnings of all these Hyperions, but that is the only, as far as I know, Hickman's Hyperion, which is a hero version, and a 616, born in the 616 version, is the only one that is still actually around. Because these guys die, come back, go to another universe, get killed, come back. But so far, it looks like they're mostly staying dead.
Right.
So, as I was saying, the first Hyperion, Mr. Zibron, the bad one from the Squadron Sinister, team was loosely based on the Justice League.
Yeah, the Squadron Supreme, that consisted of which characters? It was Amphibian, Dr. Spectrum, Hyperion, of course,
right.
Nighthawk. Nighthawk, I think, was supposed to be the Batman-like one, correct?
Yeah, he was the Batman.
Power Princess was kind of like Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think Amphibian was Aquaman-esque.
Yeah.
Then there was the Skrullilian Sky Master, which I guess would be maybe Hawkman-ish.
Yeah, that was like a Hawkman. There was a
Whizzer, which would be like the Flash.
They even got a guy named Nuke, who was like Firestorm. Like, they started adding on members that like each kind of fit.
Arcana, Blue Eagle, Golden Archer, Lady Lark, Nuke, and Tom Thumb.
Yeah, who was like a science. He was like kind of like the Atom because he was tiny.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But he didn't like have like shrinking powers. He was just a little person.
He's just a little guy.
So where to start here? So let's go with the Squadron Sinister version first. So Zibron is apparently brought from a microverse. The Avengers defeat the Squadron Sinister and thwart the Grandmaster. Grandmaster was the one who was behind it all, if you know him. Jeff Goldblum played him in the Thor Ragnarok.
I love that button that they push on the ship and it goes, it's my birthday!
Yeah, that was a straight just, let's have a Jeff Goldblum moment. Let Jeff Goldblum do his thing.
Yep. It's amazing.
So Squadron Sinister is around for a while, and then it even gets more confusing when they introduce the Squadron Supreme, because then what they would have is these Avengers crossovers where the Squadron Supreme would fight the Squadron Sinister. And I remember, like, as a kid looking at it going, like, all these characters look really cool, but I was like, why are there doubles of these guys who I barely know anything about anyway? You know, like...
Yeah.
It was very confusing. So, but what I liked about Hyperion is like I have a thing for Superman composites. Like I'm not a big Superman fan yet. I love, you know, I've talked about this before. I love Hyperion. I love Gladiator. Mm-hmm. I love all these kind of darker or different takes on that type of character. You know, was the guy from Homelander from The Boys is like, you know, one of the most evil versions of that.
Right. So like Marvel, for example, just an aside to that. Besides Hyperion, you already said Gladiator, Sentry, there was Starbrand, and there's been a few others that they've sporadically thrown out there that they thought might take off, but not really anything even close to the success, of course, of Superman. And that's a hard one, but I think as far as costumes, Hyperion's costume's pretty legit.
I love his costume, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gold and the red. I know they've kind of they've mismatched. I mean, they've kind of changed it a little bit, like with the Supreme Power version. Mm-hmm. But most of them have the same basic cool concept.
Yeah, got like a nuclear eye thing, like a nucleus or something like that. I can't.
Oh, the atomic
the atom on there on the chest. Thank you.
Right. So, a couple cool things about the Zibron, the evil character. He battles Thor at one point, so he can go like toe-to-toe with Thor. He becomes involved with Thundra, if you know the character Thundra. But the relationship ends when she discovers a means of returning to her own dimension. So she doesn't want to hook up with him no more because, you know, she can go home now. So she got her booty. And this character, yeah, he's a villain, basically. But the main one, the one from Avengers 85, Mark Milton, which is great. It's obviously Clark Kent, Mark Milton. Right. So he's a founding member of his reality, Squadron Supreme, and the last known Eternal left on Earth, on his Earth. So on his Earth, he's an Eternal. And as we know, the movie The Eternals is coming out. We know those characters. So let's see. He's in a bunch of Marvel stories, but I think one of the most important ones, the one that really made me love the character, was Mark Gruenwald wrote a 12-issue maxi series in the 80s. And what I found out, if you can still get it, I don't know if it's hard to get now, but he came out with, there's definitely like collected editions of this story, but the first one that came out that was a collected edition actually had Mark Gruenwald, he didn't create the characters, but he wanted to write them so bad because apparently he was like a lifelong Marvel guy. Like he was an editor, I think, at one point. He was a writer. He did like everything in Marvel.
He did Captain America for 90 years.
For 98. Yeah, he wrote the longest probably Captain America run ever. But apparently he was obsessed with the Justice League. And he could name, I think, if you name the number of the Justice League, he could tell you like who was on the cover. Wow. He could tell you everything. He was like this. So he obviously had a deep love for them. So when he had a chance to kind of craft and write a story about the Squadron Supreme, it was basically his way of writing a Justice League story. And now a couple things about this. Now, if you read that story, it is completely the same story that eventually they do in Kingdom Come in DC. It's like, what if superheroes actually could just take over and make things right? Like why wouldn't they do that? And they do. And this, so I mean, to me, that this was the original version of that story. It's been done so many times now of like, you know, what if these superheroes actually just fix the world because they actually can, instead of just fighting supervillains and stuff like that.
Right. I think one of the more recent ones was Injustice, the comic series by Tom Taylor was writing. It was a
totally
similar thing. Superman lost someone near and dear to him. And that kind of made him snap, and he said, "You know what? I'm done like trying to placate you people. I'm done trying to micromanage. I'm gonna take over, and this is how it's gonna be."
Totally. And the best, the cool thing about this is it goes on so many levels. So first, it's like they it starts off with the Squadron coming back, and they just pretty much like came back from Earth 616, and they were just like, "Man, that was crazy. We dealt with this whole battle. We're finally home." And they see their homes and their Earth is in shambles. So they're like, you know what? Let's stop fucking around. Let's fix it. So, yeah, they like think the wizard guy goes and literally just goes around the globe and collects all the guns. They create ways to end hunger. They pretty much could grab all the criminals. And then after they get all the criminals, they're like, well, I think it was the Tom Thumb guy is like, well, wouldn't it be smarter if we had the criminals working with us? So they create and this is where like the groups start to split off. They create this like behavior modification machine that could take, they like hook you up to it and pretty much like, and this is what they totally did in Identity Crisis, took the same idea. And they basically like mind wipe these guys and then say, well, now you're good. They like change their brain and be like, you're a good guy now. And some of them take to it. And then some of them are like, you could see it's not adjusting so well, but Nighthawk, long story short, goes off and he's like, this is not right. Like you we're playing God now. Like we're playing God. And he goes off and they end up having this, he kind of takes some people from the Squadron that, you know, want to leave. And they end up having this battle, like the Squadron fighting the Squadron. And it's so good. But if you can get this collected edition, Mark Gruenwald had his, he died sometime, I think, in either the late 90s or early 2000s. And he had his ashes mixed into the ink of the graphic novel of the Squadron Supreme.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So it's super cool. So and then just to get back to the history of the Squadron.
Real quick, though, did you know that they took all those books? Someone collected every single one of those books with his ashes. and they basically reconstituted the blood. They brought the blood back out of the pages, extracted it, and they were able to clone Mark Grunwald. And now he's writing for Marvel again, and they don't have to pay him.
But wait, I have one of those books, so they didn't complete him.
Oh no! So we've got an evil version.
Oh no! Yeah, he's like Zibron version.
Yes.
And speaking of Zibron, Zibron meets his end in the Squadron Supreme series. So what happens is he finds a way to get to that Earth with the Mark Milton's the good Hyperion. Uh-huh. And he switches places with him, and long story short, Mark Milton comes back, and so there's a battle of the first two Hyperions, and it ends with Zibron being killed, but Mark Milton goes blind doing this. They have like a heat vision, because, you know, we'll get into the power sets, but basically he's got the powers of Superman. He's got freeze breath, heat vision, super strength, super speed. So it's two Supermen fighting each other, and they like heat vision each other. And Mark wins, but the backfire blinds him, so he has to wear these special glasses for a while.
Oh, special glasses.
Yeah.
Like Cyclops.
Yeah. So we've officially checked off one Hyperion. He's dead. Zibron's dead, and I believe he stays dead.
Okay.
So Mark Milton will go on, and I think they eventually have it, so the Squadron Supreme comes to Earth 616. So they're kind of like a mainstay in the 616 universe. Couple highlights of that. I remember him fighting another Superman battle. He fights him and Gladiator get into a fight, like over a misunderstanding. And Gladiator's actually kind of handily kind of whooping Hyperion's ass. And he gets Hyperion in a chokehold, and then he has like one arm behind his. Gladiator has one of Hyperion's arm behind his back. And Hyperion, this is so badass, goes back, and if you know Gladiator, he has that mohawk, right?
Uh-huh.
Hyperion grabs, with the one arm that's free, his mohawk hair, which is essentially like steel spikes, and he rips a chunk out and then stabs Gladiator in the eye with it. It's so badass. It's so cool. It was in some like random like Quasar book. It was a really like random story.
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah. No, it was badass. And then it was even... and then Black Bolt goes up to Gladiator and whispers in his ear, and like just like they fuck up, because Gladiator was fucking him up, and then they're just like, we gotta really like take this guy down. So yeah, they fuck up Gladiator.
Yeah, it's hard to beat Gladiator, and finding a way that creative is pretty cool.
Yeah, and now let's see. So then we have also the the Mark Milton Hyperion is in the 616.
And that's from the Avengers 85.
The Avengers 85, yeah.
Okay, so he's gone.
Yeah, so then they create, like, I don't know what, I think it was Marvel Max. But
yeah,
it was.
That sounds right.
They started to do that Supreme Power, which had nothing, and they also did like a Nighthawk character. These were all totally reinvented, reimagined versions of the Squadron Supreme characters. But they were not connected, at least at this point, to the main Marvel universe at all. Like these were totally separate stories. So this Hyperion, the Supreme Power one, whose name was Marcus Milton? Wow, they really changed. So wait, we have Zibron, Mark Milton, and then Marcus Milton.
Yeah, Milton. You have two Mark Miltons. You have a Mark Milton
from right.
Avengers 85, and the one from Supreme Power. It was Mark.
It is Mark Milton as well? That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, look. I'm getting confused. So yeah. So this Mark Milton from Supreme Power was sent to Earth in a spacecraft. It's basically the Superman story, except what if Superman was raised by the government?
Right.
And I would totally admit I did not read this. I at this point, I was like, if I already have Hyperion in the 616, I don't want to invest myself in another Hyperion that has nothing to do with the main Marvel universe. Because
you could always cross over, Jarrett, and then fight the other one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think he did, but they eventually did that Secret Wars story or something where, like, so many, another convoluted thing, a billion different Secret Wars, but the one where like all the universe, kind of like the Crisis on Infinite Earths for Marvel, where they're like, we have a bunch of alternate universes, let's combine them, kind of thing. So they brought that Supreme, that Hyperion in, and I think he was actually killed during it. So that one was gone. But then
Marvel's always been a little more scared to touch their like the multiverse, whereas DC just full on embraced the shit out of it.
Right. And embrace the shit. But it's like, yeah, I don't like I mean, it was a good thing because they brought in all those new universe characters. I think they brought in we were talking Starbrand. They brought in all that stuff. But it was like, once again, like some stuff was just convoluted, not as convoluted as I think DC had it. But it definitely was.
Try explaining Hawkman to somebody without like stumbling.
Oh, God. Which is why I loved when Jeff Johns like redid. I don't know where it's at now, but when he was writing JSA and he just like took all the history and found a way to make it work, it was brilliant. I was like, oh wow, I actually like Hawkman again. I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah,
but I have
made him
no
a readable
idea.
Character.
Yeah. So let me see here. I'm trying to. This is how convoluted this is.
That's fine.
So the Hyperion, so then, okay, so we have the 616 Hyperion, who eventually, the Avengers 85 one, who I think he eventually dies. Trying to find out, how did that guy die? He might still be around. That's how fucking confusing it is. But then, then you have Avengers 1, December 2012. This is the one that Jonathan Hickman created. This is his quote. This is yet another parallel universe Hyperion. So yeah, he wasn't born in 616. None of them were. They're all parallel universes. This is not King Hyperion, who we'll go into. That was an Exile spinoff. Or Supreme Power Hyperion, who we just talked about. This is not Grunewald's Hyperion. This is Hyperion without all that baggage. This is Hyperion with a fresh slate for a very specific purpose. He comes out of what the big story is behind the whole Avengers 3-year plan that I have, which is Infinity thing. He's very important, very pivotal, and I think people are really going to dig where we go with that. He's not going to be our poor analog for Superman, which I will agree, like they have done their best to make him an individual character in the Marvel Universe. They first started out by just giving him literally the same costume, but it was like black and gray.
Yeah.
Which was cool. It looked pretty badass. They made him a hero, which was good. I think they gave him like a friendship with Thor, which was cool too. But they also, do you remember they did that Squadron Supreme, when they tried to combine everything, they made him, he left the Avengers and he became head of like a new version of the Squadron Supreme, which was like members of all the different versions since all the Earths were combined now or whatever.
Yeah, and they did an interesting Squadron Supreme. I guess it was interesting. I don't know. I never finished it. James Robinson wrote it, I believe. It wasn't that long ago. It was maybe like 5 years back or something. And they decapitated Namor in that. They just basically killed him like a little bitch.
Yeah, Hyperion ripped his head off.
It was crazy. And
as
then like
cool
they
as I thought it was that they had Hyperion do it, I was also like, Namor can't go out like that. Like what?
Right. Yeah, exactly. They brought him back almost instantly, like within the year they had brought him back. But it was like a really big, like, what the fuck moment, you know?
And now one of my favorite, and you know, we're going to talk about these too. So those are all the main, we've covered all the main Hyperions that were in, at some point, Earth 616.
Uh-huh.
Like they came into Earth 616. Then there was these either alternate reality ones, like a Paradise X version, or you're going to talk about a Marvel Zombies one. There was also one that I just mentioned a while back called King Hyperion.
Uh-huh.
King Hyperion came from the original series of The Exiles, which I loved. I thought that was just, like, that first series of it was just fantastic.
Yeah, give me your brief rundown of this guy.
Yeah, so if you don't know The Exiles, basically, like, they're this interdimensional team of alternate universe versions of characters we've seen before, like mostly mutants, like, you know, Nightcrawler, Rogue, blah, 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 Mimic and things like that. And there was kind of a mainstay team, but a lot of them, you know, after some odd issue, somebody would die and they'd get a replacement character who just pops onto the team. And then they either run with the team for a while or they die, or, you know, they have their own story. So at one point they get Hyperion and they're like, cool. And he's like, yeah, I'm a hero. I'm like Superman. And they're like, wow, awesome. We got like a Superman character in the team. He's good, but he's not. We find out that on his universe that he was transferred from, he like took over the whole planet and pretty much like killed everybody on it. And there was nobody else to rule. So now that he gets put on this team, he's like super excited because he's like, great. Now I could like find other worlds to conquer. He's super evil. It's awesome. And he eventually becomes like a super villain for the Exiles, to the point where he's, I think he killed a couple of them and killed several other people. And they finally found a way to beat him, but it wasn't like they could actually physically beat him. They found a way. They transported him back to his Earth, where nobody else was. So he was essentially just
king of nothing.
Yeah, he was the king of nothing. He was just kind of like excommunicated, you know, stranded, basically.
Right.
But what I didn't, what I found out is at some point they bring him into the 616 universe, this King Hyperion, and he ends up fighting the Winter Guard, who's the Russian guys. He fights the Blue Marvel, who we'll definitely have to do a pod on.
Yeah.
And him and Blue Marvel, actually, I think Blue Marvel beats him. So Blue Marvel beats him and he gets imprisoned in the raft. And now this is when Luke Cage was running the Thunderbolts, which was kind of like, you know, Marvel trying to do the Suicide Squad at this point.
Uh-huh.
And King Hyperion tells the team they don't know the whole Exile story because that was all like universe jumping. So they just think he's another good Hyperion. And
nope.
They say, yeah, exactly. So this is a lie. And he actually turns on the Thunderbolts during their first mission together. But he is soon brought down by Ghost, who uses nanites in King Hyperion's spine to dose him with Argonite. And now every Hyperion, I think, out there, they're, instead of, you know, obviously kryptonite, Argonite is their weakness. So, yeah, they this is so awesome. So they basically paralyze him by shooting Argonite into his spine because the Ghost could become transparent, puts the Argonite in his spine, so he's paralyzed, and then Man-Thing was on the team, and he who knows fear burns at the Man-Thing's touch. So he's freaked out about Man-Thing, and Man-Thing burns him and kills him. So that's how King Hyperion dies.
That's pretty cool. They might have saved that in a trade, and I think maybe I have that. I'll have to check.
I
do, I'll have to read it because it sounds amazing. And speaking of other trades, real quick, before we have to go, I'm just going to mention one last thing here. If you guys haven't picked up Marvel Zombies Supreme, you have to do it. It's so goddamn good. I was just telling you, Jared, about it prior to us recording this pod. And I know you must have been salivating to definitely read it. But it starts out with this like black ops group that's going in to investigate some situation at this lab. And they bring along one of their heroes who's called Battlestar. Now, Battlestar kind of looks like a Captain America, but also cocky as shit. So not the guy you would want to bring into a fight, you know, that's going to have that humility that that Captain America himself, Steve Rogers, would have.
Right.
So we're already dealing with that type of situation. So they go in and they realize that the Squadron Supreme is basically fucking zombies. And
zombified.
Yeah, and they're like killing everybody. And so they run across a doctor who was talking about one of their peers, Dr. Mortimer Doi. And he convinces Dr. Spectrum to use his power prism to create hard light constructs of each team member's individual helixes so he can then implant them into cadavers. And then needing an energy source, uses the Zeta rays that were accessible from orbit using a particle collector. Unfortunately, the Zeta rays do some type of messed up reversal of the actual helixes and creates zombified versions of all the heroes, making them villains. And Hyperion really shines in this because he escapes and he goes out on the road and he lands in a cornfield like a comet. And there's an old man and an old woman driving along in a truck, and they see it, and they get out and they see this body in the field, and they're like, oh man, are you okay? Obviously, they're going back to Clark Kent and when he was a baby and landed in the
Ma and Pa. Yeah.
Right, Ma and Pa. So he instantly bites Pa's hand and then bites his neck. Pa's shouting for Ma to get out of there, run. She starts running, and she's like running to the truck, and she's like, oh shit, I don't have the keys. So she hides under the truck, and then she like sees him walking, and then suddenly he drops Pa Kent's head next to her and lifts up the truck, and he's like, don't worry, I've got you.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he's basically going to have a late night snack. So he keeps going then. He attacks what looks like Clark Kent on a football field in a Smallville-like type scenario. Basically decapitates him and then just has some fun. He goes to a Rocks on Oil and Inorganics truck and hears cows. So he flies up, busts the front of the truck to where it flips the trailers up over, and the cows fall out mid-air. He catches them all mid-air and bites into every single one of them, starts eating them, lands onto the ground, and at that point, he has brought himself to the attention of the Harvesters. The Harvesters is Kansas's premier superhero team.
Of course.
Consisting of Meadowlark, the Pioneer. Meadowlark is this dude in like a bird outfit, like a lark bird outfit. He looks ridiculous. The Pioneer looks like a lady from Pioneer Times. She's got a bonnet and a shotgun. Sunflower, who looks like a really mean walking sunflower. Grainbelt, who looks like kind of like a Sandman type character. And then the leader of it, Topeka, the head of state, who has the Kansas flag on his outfit. So he's like, you need to stop, and we're going to stop you. So Hyperion instantly flies towards Topeka, bites him, and then pulls him in half. So then the grain belt guy starts to like grainerize himself and goes after Hyperion. And all Hyperion does is just blow him away, like with his super breath, literally just blows him away.
I'm so reading this tonight.
Yeah, it's really great. And then Sunflower comes over, and him and Sunflower go at it for a bit. And Sunflower's like, I could do this all day. And then like he said, the more sun there is, the stronger I get. And then Hyperion's nice. Like, and dry. And then he just uses his heat vision and catches him on fire, and he's dead. So then he then grabs that poor Meadowlark dude and pops his head off. And then the only one that put up a fight was the Pioneer, and she started raising all these dead cattle out of the ground.
Oh, that's awesome.
And like all the cattle that he killed, and they all start running after him and attacking him. And unfortunately, his in his error, he attacked a Roxxon truck, and Roxxon's not known for good things.
Right.
So he attacked mad cows. They all had mad cow disease, and because of his metabolism, he got mad cow disease as well, and it killed him. And that's how he died. Just the first half of the story. Then Jack of Hearts gets brought back from the dead to come and attack the rest of the Evil Squadron Supreme team that's now zombies. So I'll stop there. It's a hell of a run.
That is so cool. Oh, my God. And like so many characters I like would like love to see now, too.
Right, yeah. And it's written by Frank Marafino with pencils by Fernando Blanco. So it's out there. It's in trade. You can get it for like $16.99. Highly recommend it.
Nice.
Anything else you want to say real quick before we head out?
No, I'll just say there is a cool representation of Hyperion in the in the Avengers Assemble animated series. They do I think they eventually do a good version, but the first version is more like the Zip-Ron, like the Squadron Sinister one. And he actually becomes like a pretty reoccurring villain in the series. And they do him really well. Like he's just a crazy fucking Superman. I will say that I have some catching up to do if I want to get these like Marvel Zombies and the King Hyperion one. But I have obtained all first appearances of the main Hyperions. Like I got Avengers 69, Avengers 85,
Nice.
Supreme Power 1, Avengers Volume 5 1. Those are like, you can get those for like $2, those books. Those books are cheap. The 69 and 85 are up there. But
yeah, 69, I think, for like a 6.0, I think I paid a little over $100. So
yeah,
it's not the cheapest thing in the world. It's not out of your range, though. It's an affordable book, in other words, an affordable minor key at this point that could become a major key if we see him in the movies sometime soon, which can happen, or even in video games now, because apparently all you have to do is mention a video game starring a particular character, Miles Morales, and the price of that first appearance goes through the ever-loving roof. It's insane. Yeah. So I think that's gonna do it for us, guys. I hope you enjoyed our little ditty on the Squadron Supreme and particularly Hyperion of the Squadron Supreme.
Yeah, please go take a joint and or like a glass of whiskey and just relax now.
Yes. Yeah. Just relax and go find the Marvel Zombie Supreme. It's a good run. And then after that, find us on the other podcast networks we're on. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play Music. We are on iHeartRadio now, which is great. We're on iTunes always, on the Apple Podcast. We are on G-Spreaker, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry, you name it. We're pretty much on it. YouTube.
Follow us on Facebook. Get us on YouTube. You can find all our stuff.
Reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram. We're there, and we're happy to answer questions if you have any.
That's right. And if we don't see you there, perhaps we'll see you curbside at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.